Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I will be interviewing Myra Green, who is the retired president of Green Ridge Ministries. And through this ministry, many things have come about, including different outreaches, Bible studies, and Bible Alive Theater. I personally have been a part of Bible Alive Theater since 2016. I started off as the makeup artist and did everything up from there. By the end, the next few plays, I was in it. I had acted and sang. I directed a play. I was just kind of behind the scenes a little bit everywhere, and I was the administrative assistant for a few years. So I was Myra's assistant, and then actually a few years ago, I was Bible Alive Theater's first summer intern. So it was a 6-week program where I went up to Farmington, and I just got to get close to Myra and her family, and she really just took me under her wing, and she is just someone who is so special to me. She in my life has definitely been like a breath of fresh air. Anytime I am discouraged or need wisdom or just need someone to be there, she always has been. She knows her Bible well. She, like I said, is just so wise, and she is just very dear to my heart. So I was just so excited and so honored that I got to sit down and do this interview with her. I think you guys will really enjoy it. She has some amazing things, some beautiful things to say, just about what it's like to be in ministry, what that means when you're doing ministry outside of the church, how to deal with people and with hardship, and the perspective to have through all of it. Like I said, she's just so full of wisdom. So I can't wait for you guys to hear this episode. And I just wanted to thank you, Myra, because it was such an honor, like I said, to have you on my podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Lean not on your own understanding. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm your host, Hannah Mariah, and this is Alone, Not Lonely. Today, I have a very special guest with me.
Hi, my name is Myra Green, and I am the chairman of Bible Alive Theater.
Awesome. We're so happy to have you on. Tell me a little bit about Bible Alive Theater and what it is, and just the ministry.
Okay. We are a Bible-based ministry. We founded in 2002 as Green Ridge Ministries, and I started doing country gospel and telling my story. And then in 2008, we started our first full cast musicals and actually took on the domain name of Bible Alive Theater at that time.
Awesome. So how long ago did, or how did Bible Alive start? How did it get from what it was of you doing your music to Bible Alive Theater?
Okay. I homeschooled my children. They're all grown now, all in their 30s and 40s. But we had a co-op, a homeschool co-op, that I taught art. And so my children got tired of art classes and decided to do something different and asked me if I would teach a drama class. So I went to the library and read all about theater and drama. And we started doing drama. That would have been about 2002, I guess. 2002, yes, right about the same time that we went into full-time ministry. So we did 4 different plays. We did Pilgrim's Progress, and they did great. And then I thought, we had a lot of musicians in the class, and I really wanted them to learn the Bible in a bigger and more comprehensive way. So we did the play Ruth. I had them write it, and they wrote some of the music as well. And actually, they wrote all the music for the play that we did for the homeschool co-op. And that was the beginning of Bible Life Theater, because after we completed the play, I saw how effective it was at teaching people the Bible and how memorable it was, because it was a musical and music kind of sticks with you for a while.
Yes. Awesome. That's so cool. So what is it now? Like how many branches are there? What how did it branch out from just being one homeschool group to what it is now?
Well, even after the homeschool group, I started doing solo presentations of Bible musicals. So I started writing some musicals then. And it wasn't until 2008 that we actually started full cast musicals. My husband and I were already in full-time ministry. I started out giving my testimony using country gospel music. And I think that's still always the most powerful way to start any kind of ministry, is to tell what Jesus has done in your life. And we had been doing, for about 3 years, we'd been doing a couple, three or four of the Bible musicals that I had written. And we were having a discussion coming back from a ministry trip about how effective the ministry was of a Bible theater and musical theater. And we decided, by after praying and seeing some full cast musicals, that that would be a really good way to go for our ministry, to incorporate a lot more people into the mission. And they would learn, and they would also be able to teach people the Bible by being on stage and doing what we do.
Yeah, awesome. So how many branches are there now?
Well, right now, we've had a little bit of issues with not being able to do many performances because of the COVID pandemic that's been going on. So we're not doing a whole lot right now, other than doing a lot of recording. So we have several of our musicals recorded that are on our website, BibleAliveTheater.org. And you can see lots of those musicals on that theater. At one time, we had four locations that we were doing Bible Life Theater. We started out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And so we had a theater here in Santa Fe. Then we went to Texas and started another theater in Texas, in South Texas. And one of our members was in Michigan, and she started a theater there in Michigan. And our daughter, who has been actively involved since the beginning of Bible Life Theater, took over ministry in northern New Mexico, in Farmington. And that is where we're based right now. And she has just become the president of Bible Life Theater. So I'm getting older. Do I have to say how old I am? No. Just to say retirement age. And so I am now the chairman of the board, and our daughter, Sandy Eford, is actually the president of Bible Life Theater right now.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how many transitions Bible Life Theater went through, like all at once, of you know, new leadership, and then even with the pandemic kind of going more virtual and all that. So it's been cool to see how God is still, like, in the ministry and still growing
using
it.
Still using it, still growing it. At one time, we had about 200 people involved in the full cast musicals.
Wow.
It has pulled back from that because we haven't been able to do anything for the last year and a half.
Right.
Although we have had some Bible studies have had us come to do small cast things and solo musicals. I'm not the only one who does solo musicals anymore. We have several of our members that do solo musicals. So we've had some of those. And so we've been going to some Bible studies and some churches that are have been meeting and are social distancing, and it's you know, we're quite a ways away on the stage, so that works pretty good, especially for the solo presentation. So we've been doing some of that as well.
Right. Yeah, that's so awesome. So going back to the start of when you still didn't, whenever you were in full time ministry, but Bible Live wasn't a thing yet. You said that through prayer you knew that this was what God was calling you to. So can you just kind of explain, like, how God showed you and your husband, you know, that this was, you know, something that he was calling you guys to do, and yeah, just like kind of how that looked.
Okay. Well, I would say since about 1995, I was, my husband was working full time and I started singing my testimony, and I used country gospel, which I really didn't at that time even like country music, but this music that I was using just so told my story that I wanted people to hear about Jesus with that music. So I did that, and we traveled, and then he came on the ministry full time in 2002, where we actually established ourselves as a full time ministry, Green Ridge Ministries. Again, while I was doing country gospels, when I was teaching the homeschool drama class. And then we were actually traveling where we had several engagements through solo performances across the country. And we saw lots of people come to the Lord on that ministry trip. And we were praying, you know, how can we even be more effective when we get back home, when we get back to where we live? And we had seen what another ministry was doing in Branson. and were very encouraged about how many people they were reaching through their ministry, which is theatrical Bible musicals is what we were doing as well. We didn't even know about it at the time when we took the trip that they were doing the same thing. And actually, that was before they were in Branson. They were in Lancaster at that time. Mm-hmm. And we were reading a book that was about some people that were doing Bible ministry, theater ministry at their church. And it was a novel, but in that novel, it was talking about how cast members actually came to know Jesus because, you know, they needed more people. And so they were reaching outside of their church to get members to do this musical. Mm-hmm. And they were actually came to know the Lord. As a matter of fact, in that story, Jesus, the one they got to play Jesus, mm-hmm. was not a believer when they they cast him, mm-hmm. but he was a professional actor. And at the end, Jesus came off the cross and gave his life to Jesus for real, you know, although it was a novel. But the idea of reaching not just the people that we did the theatrical performances for, but also touching the lives of the people that were involved in the ministry as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It was a very interesting trip. We prayed a lot and you like to think, oh, it's a coincidence that we went all these places and heard about all these things. But God had a plan.
Right.
And, we've always been, since we have been believers in Jesus and follow him, I think there's a real problem with people not knowing what the Bible says. So they don't really know how they are to behave as Christians. Mm-hmm. We don't know truth. Everything in our culture is, there's not very many absolutes.
Right.
Everything is relative. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we believers know is that God's word, our Bible, is not relative.
Right.
It is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And how we apply that to our lives, how can we apply it to our lives if we don't know what it says?
Right. Yes. And I like what you said earlier about how music just sticks with you, because I still know the kids that were in Bible Life when they were in it when they were really little, and they can still sing the songs that are direct scripture. So,
and we've always given away CDs as well. Mm-hmm. And the most response we've gotten from the CDs, every performance that we did, we had CDs that we gave away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always still getting calls from grandparents or parents who say, my child listens to that CD every night when they go to bed. And they have the whole book of, you know, Ruth memorized, or Hannah's story from 1 Samuel, or the music sticks with them because they love the music, and the story goes along with the music. And so all the truths of the scripture are implanted in their hearts.
Right. Yes. That's so awesome. So, I can only imagine how hard being in ministry full-time is, just because being in ministry part-time can be hard. And especially with the ministry that you're doing, it's like you are directly interacting with people constantly. So can you kind of just explain like how God has grown you as a person being in ministry, how God has, how he's grown you, how he's grown your marriage. Cause you said that you and your husband are both in this full time. So yeah. So just how, God has used that to grow you as a person and to grow your marriage, and just the experiences that you've had with that.
Okay. Any ministry is a lot like church because, we have lots of people involved. And I can tell you how one area that really changed me is I used to be really critical of pastors. Mm-hmm. And they just, not over important things, but over little things that, that sermon went too long, or they should have used a different kind of music, or da 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 da. I had no idea how hard it is to lead people and to not, you just can't please everyone.
Right.
You can't please everyone. You have to do what God has called you to do. And not everyone is going to see that as applying to them, or they might not see it, the importance of it, because they're not the one that God is dealing with at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
After we went into ministry and started working with people, because we're all sinners and we all have our own ideas and thoughts, and we're all at different levels in our spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much respect for pastors and teachers who work with groups of people, because my husband likes to say it's like herding cats. get one or two here, and then the other three are going off somewhere else.
Right.
It's difficult. Probably the most difficult thing that I've had to deal with is to see, because we teach, we're teaching the Bible as we teach people the musicals, as they write musicals, as we are in performances or whatever, and we learn the truths of the Bible. And as people go in different directions, sometimes they back away from that, mm-hmm. from the truth of the Bible. And other people you love and care about, which is like a church, you know, mm-hmm. you see that happen in churches as well. Right. People you love and you've poured your heart into because mm-hmm. you see God working in them and pulling them into his arms. And sometimes they just walk out of his arms and experiment, or I hope they all come back. A lot of them I know already have, mm-hmm. But it's hard when you've been involved in that.
Yeah.
And I think the best lesson I've learned from that is that God is always working, mm-hmm. and we should not second guess how he's working in people's lives.
Mm. Wow. That's awesome. That's really cool. So what encouragement would you give to people who are like in the hardest parts of ministry, you know, like the parts where they have poured out, you know, their heart and soul into these people who, you know, are walking away or you know, just hardship is following them in this season. What bit of encouragement would you give to those people?
I think every hardship draws us closer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It helps us to seek him more, to pour out our hearts and our emotions and our thoughts to him. And so I would encourage people, it's easy to try to complain to people and just say, you know, poor pitiful me, this is happening or whatever. And I know I have a tendency to want to do that, and other people do, I'm sure, as well. But it gives us a great opportunity to pour out our heart to Jesus and listen for his response. And he teaches us through the hardships to wait on him. Mm-hmm. And that's lessons that we all need to learn, is how to wait for him to reveal what he's doing, or not even reveal what he's doing, just understand and have the faith to believe that he is in control. Mm-hmm. And we're not the only person in the world that mm-hmm. he's working on their lives. not every hardship is about us. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we need to just understand that hardship teaches us. Mm-hmm. And it teaches us lots of different things. And so mm-hmm. if we have a teachable spirit, we can learn.
Yes, I agree. I think if everyone had that mentality of like of what you just said, of every hardship isn't about us, I think the church and the world would be a lot better of a place if we could understand that.
That's very hard to see, though, in the middle of your circumstance.
Yes, for sure.
To see that, you know, it's not all about us, mm-hmm. and that we can still have a commitment and a deep faith, and also a prayer life, prayer for, mm-hmm. for the hard things that we go through, and the prayer for other people who are going through hard things that we don't even see any of the details of that.
Right.
So we just have to trust that he's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. So what would you encourage people who maybe want to start ministry, either going in full time, right? Like taking that risk of quitting their job and going in ministry full time, or if they're going to pursue music or theater, but they're just a little scared to take that jump. What bit of encouragement would you give to those people of how to practically make that happen?
Well, I can tell you what happened with us, mm-hmm. Because I was already in ministry before we went full time, mm-hmm. and as we were learning, you know, in our church, in our Sunday school classes, we stayed plugged in, and that's very important for everybody. Stay mm-hmm. plugged into your church.
Nice.
You need accountability. You need people you can talk to. You just need other Christians around you. Mm-hmm. I think that's been so hard through this time that we've been through this mm-hmm. last couple of years, not having that available to us all the time.
Right.
But the Lord really started teaching us about getting out of debt before he even called us into full-time ministry. You know, we thought, well, he's teaching us financial freedom, or, you know, we didn't really know we were going to be in full-time ministry. So we did. And we had to pull back our wants to mm-hmm. what we needed. And we were able to get completely out of debt, including our mortgage on our house.
Wow.
And it wasn't a year after we paid off our mortgage that the Lord called us into full-time ministry. We knew that we could trust him. And even so, it was still hard because my husband is an economist. And so he's always worked with numbers. And he said, this is the first time I've really had to consider a zero-based budget because we had no idea how what kind of money you know the ministry was going to provide mm-hmm. for us. We still had a child at home who one was just gone off to college. And so it was a difficult transition, mm-hmm. so worth it, because it proved that God is faithful to do what he's called you to do mm-hmm. when you just say, okay, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but you do. And if you'll just take us one step at a time, mm-hmm. we'll trust you. And he always does that anyway. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we have to say it out loud sometimes.
Right. I know. Or sometimes whenever you think you can see a few steps ahead, it's nope. And then God changes the direction or something else happens that you have to just hold on to your faith.
And I've always been, from reading stories in scripture, God doesn't just put you in a box and say, stay there. Mm-hmm. He's always working in your life. So you have to keep your relationship with him very close mm-hmm. so you can hear his voice when he's directing you in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And that's happened many times in ministry while mm-hmm. we've been in ministry. Even now, as we're retired, actually, Cliff is completely retired from Bible Life Theory. He says, I still ask him for advice and he still handles some of the bookwork and things mm-hmm. for Sandy. But even now, there's still ministry going on.
Right.
You know, we're still mm-hmm. involved in not just Bible Life Theater, but taking care of family mm-hmm. is very important. And we must never lose sight of that. Mm-hmm. The Lord tells us to honor our parents. Mm-hmm. So for people my age, that means something mm-hmm. if their parents are still living, and mine are. There are times when you feel guilty, which guilt is always from Satan, not from the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Lord gives conviction when we've sinned, mm-hmm. but sometimes we feel guilty like, oh, I'm having to give up this, or mm-hmm. I need to give up this part of ministry. I went through that mm-hmm. because I thought, I've always been so involved here. Mm-hmm. Can I, you know, I was almost like, Lord, will you forgive me if I stop and do this? And he really convicted me that it's not what we should do everything for him. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do, taking care of our family. You know, when we go to a job that's not a ministry job, we still have ministry work mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's when sometimes we reach the most people. It's mm-hmm. it's not about being in full-time ministry because we're all in full-time ministry.
Right.
We all are to tell people about Jesus mm-hmm. and his love for them. And we are to love people. Mm-hmm. And that is our ministry. Mm-hmm. And how we choose to do that or how he chooses to lead us to do that can change.
Right. Yeah, I think that that's the season that I'm in because I'm not, because since I've been saved up to like a year ago, I was always in some ministry that I could completely pour out into. And so now I'm not. I'm pulled back from basically all the ministries that I was involved in. But I think I've learned that like at my job is it's like, oh, like it's not. It's even more so now, you know, it's not, it's definitely not just in church thing. And so just to grow in the season of like still learning how to, you know, pray without ceasing. And even all the more now that you're not, always surrounded by other Christians and all of that. So I think that that's definitely a season that I'm in is learning that a full-time ministry is what every Christian is called to.
Right. I know with, being a young mother, which I seemed young at the time. My children were various ages, but it always seemed like there ought to be something more important that I'm doing. You know, mm-hmm. I need to get my family under control so that I can do this ministry or, mm-hmm. you know, teach Bible study or do something. And it didn't really dawn on me for till my kids were teenagers that was the most important ministry I had.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was to make sure that my children knew Jesus and mm-hmm. that they learned the word of God. Mm-hmm. And not that we can make those decisions for them.
Right.
But that we can present the truth to them mm-hmm. and then let the Holy Spirit guard them.
Yeah.
And so spending time with your children, with your parents, mm-hmm. With your siblings, those are important things as well because we have great influence there. Being in full-time ministry because you deal with so many people, different mm-hmm. people that you maybe not don't know very well, or you're not aware of their circumstances all the time, of what they're going through. It's really easy to get frustrated and angry. Very easy to get arrogant and think you're something when you're not. You know, those are pitfalls that people in ministry have, a judgmental Phariseeism. You know, it's easy to fall into that. Although we do need to hang on to the truth and tell people truth and still love. But I think where we run into Phariseeism or that arrogance that comes from ministry is when we start thinking, oh, we don't have any problems, or that, you know, we've got this all figured out, because we're still sinners, and we still are affected by sin in the world. And so every day we need Jesus. You know, he's just always available to us as a Christian to ask, you know, what do I do here in this situation? Or please help me get over this anger. Or, you know, we don't have to ask him to humble us. He does that on his own. That was a surprise, because I think whenever things are going really well in ministry, and sometimes I think that's why God sometimes just puts some blocks up there so we can see, hey, you forgot about me, and you think you're doing this on your own, and you're not. You know, I think that Jesus tells that to us a lot. You know, stop a minute and analyze. Are you trying to do this on your own? And do you think you're something because it's successful right now? Understand what success is. You know, success is just being totally confident and relying on Jesus. That's successful.
Right. I agree. And yeah, like you said, the Lord always finds a way to humble us. I remember one time in one particular relationship that I had, every time I would, well, this has happened in a few relationships, but every time I would go to the Lord and be like, you know, like, I'm just so upset because they did this, the Lord would just like give me a whole list of like what I was doing. And it'd be like, no, but they, and then he just stops that right away. And he's, and you know, holds up a mirror so we can see what we truly are. Cause I feel like the better that we understand how little we are, the more we can look to Jesus's perfection and be in more awe. Right. So I feel like he, you know, that's a necessity that he has to do is hold up a mirror and show us how little nothing we are.
Well, you asked me earlier about our marriage and how it has affected our marriage. I really believe marriage is a perfect place to learn those kind of things. Because I remember for years and years when I first got married, it was, okay, this is how I prayed, you know, Lord, please change him so that he's more like me, right? And as we've been married almost 45 years now, and I see that because he's different than I am, he's brought gifts into every situation that I couldn't bring in. And we don't have to think the same. As long as we have Jesus in the center and we believe the word of God, you know, we can take it from different angles and and work together to for the betterment of both of us. So I remember being at that point where I used to pray, Lord, please change him. And the Lord said, you know, let's look at you first. And it's always through us changing that other people change, or our view of them changes. They may not change at all. It's just that our view changes and we get more mature. I go through cycles of that still, where I think, you know, please change them, whatever, whoever it is that I'm having issues with. And the Lord's always like, you know, I'm dealing with them. You know, let's see if I'm dealing with you, if you're learning, if you're teachable. And we should always be teachable.
Yeah, and I think that applies to everything. I mean, it, especially in our Christian lives, but even outside of Christianity, to always be teachable, that's when people as humans grow the most. You know, in a job is whenever you're most teachable. And, you know, you might, even if you're at the top, that's how you get to the top, is you always stay teachable. So I think that applies everywhere in life, but yeah, especially in our Christian life.
Well, I've been teaching Bible study for several years. I've been read through the Bible a couple, three or four times, and I am teaching through the Bible. I usually tries to teach that way. And it amazes me how every time I read something that I may have read 100 times before, the Lord has something new there, something I didn't see before. It's just, we need to always not think that we know, because we don't have we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we're not God.
Right.
You know, he reveals as much of himself mm-hmm. through his word as we need. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can just stay in his word and learn what the Bible says about God, he just, we should be in awe all the time
right.
about how majestic and wonderful he is. And realize that whatever righteousness, whatever goodness we have mm-hmm. is gifted from him.
Right. Yeah. I think that's something else that God has been teaching me is how infinite he is. So it's so all the more to always be teachable because we're never there. We will never be there. It'll take the rest of eternity to learn about the love and the wonders of God. You know, it'll take the rest of eternity. So especially on this side of heaven, we're never there, especially in our finite beings,
right.
You know, and there's some, I think that's what gives me peace through the hard times with, specifically with like hard questions that I have that I even feel like there aren't answers on this side of heaven because we can't see it all and we can't comprehend the infinity that's in God, you know?
Right.
And so,
but we just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to trust.
Right. And he does, supply that peace for the things that we don't understand mm-hmm. yet, you know, here on earth, and he does give peace. So yeah, I do feel like that's something that he's been drilling into me for a few years.
Well, one of the things that I've learned also, even more recently, like I said, I've been teaching Bible for a while, and it wasn't until a couple of years ago, I teach in South Texas as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it to the people that were coming to Bible study, and we have people who know the Bible real well, have read through it several times. And I said, please, whether you know the Bible a lot or whether you've, you know, whether you're a pastor or a teacher or whatever, please question everything I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what's written in the word mm-hmm. is absolute truth, but my commentary may be off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my understanding may be off.
Yeah.
And I found that opening yourself up to criticism
mm-hmm.
was the hardest thing to do because, you know, the first couple times that it actually happened, I was like, first thing I did was try to find an excuse why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, maybe I was just wrong in my interpretation,
uh-huh.
you know, and that's hard to say
mm-hmm.
Without getting your feelings hurt. And,
right.
and thankfully these people are so loving, you know, they're like always coming at me, but, they may have seen something in scripture that I didn't see, that I totally glossed over, or
yeah.
or my understanding because of other scripture, you know, because they can remember all more scripture than I can a lot of times, and they'll bring it in and say, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think, wow, maybe I don't have as much understanding about that issue as I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
So being open to criticism
mm-hmm.
and having a heart that accepts it and not tries to make excuses for mm-hmm. when we mess up,
right.
And understanding that we're never going to understand everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not. But we keep striving to
mm-hmm.
because we want to please not people mm-hmm. so much as honoring God, I guess, pleasing him by honoring him as knowing more than we do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful.
I guess I would have to, if we're wrapping this up, because right now is a slow time
mm-hmm.
for my ministry, what I've called my ministry for the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
is to not stress over change, not stress over change, but to be open
mm-hmm.
to hearing the Lord speak and direct, especially in his word. When you read the Bible and you're not sure which direction to go,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't always tell you immediately. Don't second guess and say, well, this must be where I'm going because this didn't happen or that didn't happen. You really can't rely on circumstances that much.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to just seek the Lord and wait and continue doing what you're doing until he makes it clear that it's time for a change.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for doing this interview with me. It was an honor to have you on.
Well, you know, I love you, Hannah.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay updated on new episodes and more, and let me know what you think about the things that we discussed today by following my page on Instagram. My handle is @AloneNotLonelyPodcast. I would love to hear from you. And if you feel so inclined, it would mean the world if you left me a review, as well as share this podcast with anyone and everyone. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.